Let us pray. Eternal God, giver of life and light, we would offer this long-anticipated hour of celebration and transition to you as a service of worship. By your leading and your steadfast love, all of us have come to this milestone of achievement in our pilgrimage of faith. Our hearts overflow with thankfulness as we recall the myriad ways you have sustained and loved us, often through the sacrificial caring of family and friends. To you, O Lord, be all praise and glory. O Holy Spirit, grant us now, each one of us, the incomparable blessing of your presence in this service. In the name of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, amen.
Hear now the word of the Lord from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. There will be no gloom for her that was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them his light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, thou hast increased its joy. They rejoice before thee as with joy at the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, thou hast broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the promise of the Lord. Let us claim it as our own.
From the third chapter of John, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born anew. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can this be? May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word.
Greetings on the midterm graduation of our 37th academic year. And on behalf of this class of 92 graduates from 10 states and 3 nations, I welcome you to this commencement program. In the context of worship, we add the dimension of celebration. Now, worship always has a feature of celebration, but in this context, it focuses on celebration. The celebration of God, whose gift we all celebrate, not only this season, but every season. The celebration of a journey that has reached a very significant point in it. And beyond that, the celebration of so many of you who join each of these graduates in their pilgrimage to this place. So we welcome you, friends and families and extended families and church members and friends of this seminary from wherever you have come. This December morning was made just kind of special for this commencement exercise. So we welcome you. John Martin is a member of the graduating class, a senior class representative from the fine state of Alabama, and he has a presentation to make.
President Lally, Dean Ashcraft, on behalf of the December 1987 graduating class, I am making this announcement and presentation of our class gift. This gift is of a different nature than previous gifts, but then these are times of a different nature in the life of our school. Traditionally, graduating classes have made a gift in one form or the other to the seminary. However, in light of impending changes which are being imposed upon our seminary, there's been a feeling, even a conviction, that we did not wish to contribute to what might become an institution which we have never known. Instead, we wish to make a contribution from our school, or at least from the vision of faith, mission, and ministry with which you, Dr. Lally, have led us. In the spirit of that vision, and particularly in respect to one who has shared with us his vision of Southeastern, we are making a special gift in special honor of Dr. Randall Lally. In view of Dr. Lally's concern for the community here in the Forest of Wake, during his administration and his personal involvement in the work of Habitat for Humanity, we, the graduating class of December 1987, are making a gift which, when added to the gift of this coming May's graduating class, will make up an endowed fund for the Wake Forest Program of Habitat for Humanity in honor of W. Randall Lally, our president.
I told this class yesterday that we have said of others they were our blue ribbon class. This is our yellow ribbon class. And till a few months ago, if you had asked me what solidarity meant, I guess I would have said it is a thing, or an idea, an ideal embraced by a group in Poland. But I'll tell you now, from this moment on, solidarity for me is a group of people who are committed to a heritage. A reporter asked me a while ago if we were protesting anything with these ribbons. I told her, absolutely not. This is not a protest against anybody, anything that I know about. It is an affirmation of a root system, a dream, and this dream will live. And I want to thank you for what you have done today. I appreciate it. God bless you. Now, we will proceed for the rest of our program unannounced, and highlight it all with every event along the way. Thank you again for coming.
Oh, President Lally, Dean Ashcraft, members of the graduating class of December 1987, members of the faculty and administrative staff, and honored guests, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. December is an especially appropriate month for graduation, the end of the calendar year and the conclusion for many of you of your formal education now coincide. The events of this year and previous ones come into focus on the occasion of this solemn and holy commencement. The joys and pains of the long journey are now being fulfilled, and you are experiencing in the depths of your beings a cluster of rare moments in which nothing else is needed or desired. You are caught up in that which is truly human, as the past and the future are for the moment forgotten and irrelevant. You are reveling in this elusive segment of time which makes life worth the effort and more than the anticipation. Enjoy every dimension of your newfound ecstasy. It is uniquely yours. It is both God's precious gift and your remarkable achievement. Our heartiest congratulations to you. In and through and under and with these tokens of eternity, you may be pondering, how did I get here and where am I going? At the risk of invading your blessedness and detracting from your delight, I will spread the present into the past and future. Past, present, and future seem so fragmented, so separated, so hopelessly at odds within us. We are terrified by beginnings and endings, arrivals and departures, comings and goings, advents and commencements. Such fear is acquired under the conditions of sin, where faith is absent. Children begin with faith and are taught to be afraid. They begin with reality as whole and good and learn from us that life is divided and evil. Children have many lessons to teach us if we are teachable. Carolyn, my oldest daughter, taught me such a lesson about coming and going. We were enjoying a family picnic in the famous Cherokee Park of Louisville, Kentucky, when this adult learning experience happened. She enjoyed the high swings with the long ropes, and as I pushed her as high as I thought it to be safe, she said, "Higher, Daddy, higher." Then she exclaimed, "Look, Daddy, I'm coming and going at the same time, and it's fun." Coming and going at the same time, and it's fun. This is the way life should be lived. Advent and commencement at the same time, and it's fun. Once we fall from childlike faith into adult unbelief, coming and going become the horror house we dwell in as our stories are experienced. Pandora's box has been opened, and every experience of beginning and ending is divided and devoid of meaning and fulfillment. How can we be delivered from this chamber of torture? Thanks be unto God, whose advent in Jesus the Christ, our advents and commencements are reunited and belong together. Perhaps our consideration of the advent of Christ will give us meaning and guidance for this commencement. Advent simply means arrival, coming, approach. In the Christian tradition, Advent signifies the period including the four Sundays before Christmas, observed as a season of prayer and fasting in preparation for the feast of the Nativity, the coming of Christ, the Incarnation. We tend to overlook that portion of the tradition, which includes fasting. Commencement in the academic tradition means the day when, or the ceremonies at which degrees or diplomas are conferred. Also, the period of festivities at this time. Obviously, the word commencement is from commence, which means to begin, to make a beginning, to originate, to start. And surprisingly, in the history of education, commence also means to admit a candidate to a degree. Although we understand commencement primarily as the marking of the end of an academic endeavor, commencement has carried the double meaning of both the beginning and the ending of a candidate's commitment to pursuing a degree. Now, with this double meaning of commencement, we quickly see the intricate relationship of Advent and commencement. And from a Christian view of past, present, and future, as a harmonious experience of these segments of our stories, we understand clearly that in our educational pilgrimages, we have been coming and going at the same time, and it's fun, at least most of the time. For in both the Christian and academic traditions, Advent and commencement are festive occasions, which, according to Stephen Crichton, are a tensed unity. Those rare moments when past and future are all gathered up into a glorious present. Today, the coming and going in the story of your lives is singular and may be gathered up in your memories in relationship to the master paradigm of the advent of Jesus Christ as your authentic commencement, your coming to and going from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. In Christian tradition, the Advent wreath on the communion table expresses a significant portion of the substance and meaning of his story and ours, of Jesus and his disciples. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. The light of the prophecy candle symbolizes the burning hope in Israel for the fulfillment of their highest hopes for deliverance and peace, for knowledge and joy. And Matthew writes, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. This flame witnesses to the fulfillment of the deepest longings of Israel and indeed of all humankind. You came to Southeastern Seminary in part because the fulfillment of prophecy in the advent of the Christ is a vital component in the story of your life. As you commence, you will continue to proclaim the fulfillment of the hopes of humankind in the present and coming kingdom of God through faith in Jesus the Christ. And when Herod the king inquired as to where the Christ was to be born, they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel. The glow of the Bethlehem candle witnesses to the historicity of the advent of the Christ. Jesus was born in a place, Bethlehem, at a particular time when Caesar Augustus was emperor of all Rome, Quirinius was governor of Syria, and Herod the king of Judea. Neither Matthew nor Luke begins by writing, "Once upon a time, somewhere Jesus the Christ appeared." The flickering of the Bethlehem candle on this Advent wreath in Binkley Chapel on the campus of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in the town of Wake Forest on the 12th of December, the year of our Lord, 1987, is an actual event in your life directly connected to the narrative account of the place and time of the birth of our Lord Christ. Your coming to and departing from Southeastern Seminary is now an essential segment of your history in the context of the history of Jesus the Christ and all his disciples. Your diploma from this school represents a portion of its finest years and yours. Never allow anyone or anything to tarnish the joining of our stories with the story of Jesus the Christ in this place and at this time. There's no need to refuse or to return your diploma, which is forever fixed in that span of history to be examined by all who read the signature of President W. Randall Lally, thereunto affixed and accurately dated December 12, 1987. The light of the Bethlehem candle also signifies the ministry given to you by God on behalf of the people, that this ministry will happen in particular places and times, and that each portion of this ministry will become a part of your story and God's narrative. Do not make the tragic mistake of withholding yourself and your gifts until you arrive at the First Baptist Church of your dreams. Give yourself, all of yourself, wherever you are serving, for to do less is to rob yourself of your story and to cheat the people of God of theirs. And the master said to his servant, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The rays of the shepherd's candle witnessed to the folk who performed the ordinary and necessary services of the human family, those who earned minimum wages doing the most common tasks. To these unpretentious persons, the revelation of God comes in every generation, for they have erected fewer barriers to God's presence than the rich and famous, who have so much to protect from God and others. The common people heard Jesus gladly and followed him eagerly and unafraid. They will also hear you, if you include them as equals before God in your commencing from this place. Most of the resistance you will encounter on your journey will come not from the meek and lowly, but from those advantaged people who will pressure you to reshape the gospel to fit their agendas. Jesus refused to govern his coming in and going out among the rank and file of humanity by preoccupation with the wishes of the power structure of Jewish society. The beams from the shepherd's candle focus attention on the shepherds and Jesus, who were servants of the people. And we wisely follow their pattern in the fleshing out of our stories. The brilliance of the angel's candle became transparent to the purpose of God. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." According to Paul, the light of the knowledge of God came through Jesus Christ. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The dazzling rays of the angel's candle reveal the kingdom of God as the glorious presence of God's love, both in heaven and on earth. Not only the shepherds on earth, but also the heavenly angels bear joyful witness to the advent of the Christ. As you commence, you are commissioned to become transparent to the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ and made available through the Holy Spirit to meet both human and non-human needs. To both the guilt-ridden sinner and the acid-blighted Fraser Fir, you have the opportunity to to become an angel of mercy as you bear witness to the whole gospel, which is worthy of full acceptation. The streams of light beaming from these four candles illumine another, the majestic white Christ candle, standing taller and shedding its rays for all whose eyes are open to behold. The witnesses of the prophetic hope and the Bethlehem stable unite with those of the servant shepherds and the singing angels to enhance the brilliance of the Christ candle. The Christ candle. Words fail us in describing the Christ candle. We simply worship the Christ child and give thanks to God for his unspeakable gift. The Christ candle discloses that there is one person, Jesus the Christ, who reveals one God, and that this God loves all of us together, and each of us separately and individually, as if all of creation and redemption has happened exclusively for each of us alone. Not only is the Son of God, monogenes, unique, but so are you, and so am I. How marvelous, how like God to lavish his love on each person individually. As you commence from Southeastern, remember that God loves you for yourself and as you are. God's love for us comes through persons, Jesus the Christ and other humans. For the incarnation is implicitly possible in every human being. Life is perfected not only when God loves you as his one and only, but also when you are loved by one other person alone as his or her one and only. David and Jonathan were friends who loved each other uniquely, as the scripture reads. And Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. In the order of creation, this one and only love happens most appropriately in marriage. As you commence, share yourself intimately only with your one and only, and never, never grant entrance into this holy of holies to another. Never be too busy in the Lord's work to share your life daily with the person with whom God has made you number one, just a little less than God. In the order of the new creation, this one and only love, this magnificent obsession with God's love and the welfare of God's people, involves the call you have received, a divine call, to give your undivided attention to the task for which you have been set apart by the laying on of hands. As you serve, remember the wisdom of Jesus. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. For 31 years, half of my life, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary has been my one and only vocation, my coming and going at the same time, and it's been fun. With scores of colleagues, students, alumni, and friends, some who have already received their Sabbath rest, I have given my best, and I shall continue to give the best God can help me to become to generations of students who join their stories with mine and my colleagues. Ultimately, God is the author and finisher of our stories, and only into God's providential care can we freely and fully commit our destinies. As Christians, our stories, yours and mine, have intersected here at the Forest of Wake. Advent and commencement are happening to us at this very hour. And with the innocence of a child at play, we exclaim, "Look, God, we're coming and going at the same time, and it's fun." Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. God bless each one of you. Amen.
We come now to the conferring of the degrees on these who have earned them. We know and recognize that you in this room have had a lot to do with what Dr. Eddins has just said, the coming and the going of these graduates. We want to recognize you for that part in their lives. So, if you're here today, or a friend, or a church member, or a family member of one of these graduates, we want you, if you will, to stand as his or her name is called and remain standing until that person has received a diploma. Now, if you also would like to take a picture of the event, celebrating with your graduate more permanently in that respect, we ask you to come into this area, be prepared when the graduate comes to receive the diploma, take your picture, and enjoy it for the rest of your lives. We are now ready to confer degrees upon the candidates approved by the faculty. Dean Ashcraft?
The Associate of Divinity degree was designed for men and women who responded to the call of Christian service somewhat later than other students, and sometimes after a career in some other field. It is a program of study including biblical, historical, theological, and ministry areas taught on the beginning college level and leading to the Associate of Divinity degree. The purpose of the program is to equip men and women with the basic knowledge and skills so that they can serve effectively as pastors, bivocational ministers, or lay leaders. The Associate of Divinity curriculum is composed of the same courses as those in the Master of Divinity curriculum and are taught on the college level by the same faculty members who teach the courses on the master's level. The degree requires 56 semester hours of work or a minimum of 2 years to complete. Will the candidates for the Associate of Divinity degree please stand? President Lally, I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the Associate of the Divinity degree, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty, and upon the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees, I confer upon each of you the degree Associate of Divinity, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the Marshal, as your name is called, come forward, please, to receive your diploma.
J. Terry Gladden, graduating in absentia. Perry R. Jordan. Don Jolly Leopard. The Master of Religious Education is a program of studies including 60 semester hours or 2 full years designed to equip persons for service in Christian education and related ministries. Candidates for this degree must complete all foundational courses required of the Master of Divinity degree and utilize their elective area for specialization in the field of Christian education. Will the candidate for the Master of Religious Education degree please stand? President Lawley, I present to you the candidate who has completed all requirements, who has been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Religious Education, that you may confer upon him that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty, and upon the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees, I confer upon you the degree Master of Religious Education, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the Marshal, as your name is called, come forward, please, to receive your diploma.
L. Douglas Duncan. The Master of Arts in Christian Education is being offered for the first time this year. It will replace the Master of Religious Education degree. The Master of Arts in Christian Education degree was designed to be completed in 2 academic years, consists of 64 semester hours of courses, including 32 semester hours of foundational studies and 24 semester hours of specifically Christian education courses as prescribed. Will the candidates for the Master of Arts in Christian Education please stand? President Lawley, I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Arts in Christian Education, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty, by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees, I confer upon each of you the degree Master of Arts in Christian Education, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the Marshal, as your name is called, come forward, please, to receive your diploma.
John Gary Bodford. Keith Fleming Feather. The Master of Divinity degree prepares men and women for leadership in Christian ministry. The program is designed to be completed within 3 years of full-time study of 88 semester hours. It consists of basic core courses in theological and ministry disciplines and elective courses to achieve a well-rounded theological education with some specialization for ministry. Most students of the seminary enroll for the Master of Divinity program as their graduate professional degree. Southeastern Seminary offers 2 specializations of the Master of Divinity degree, one in Christian education and the other in church music. Candidates for these specialized degrees accomplish the basic Master of Divinity requirements and use their elective courses to achieve the specialties in the 2 areas. Will the candidates for the Master of Divinity degree please stand? President Lawley, I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Divinity, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty, by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees, I confer upon each of you the degree Master of Divinity, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the marshal, if your name is called, come forward, please, and receive your diploma.
Kenneth Lawrence Allen. William Robertson Bagwell. Richard Grady Beecham, graduating in absentia. Russell Manley Blackman. Ronald Anthony Bradley. Carol Lynn Brown. Tony D. Cabanis. Curtis B. Calfee. James E. Campbell. David William Carter. Stanton Charles Cheatham. Tony Whitfield Connor. Archie Satterfield Corbin, Jr. Richard Hope Culpepper. Stephen Randall Darnell. Susan Jane Dillinger, graduating in absentia. F. Gary Edwards. Michael Herman Evans. Margaret Laureen Fairburn, graduating in absentia. John H. Ferris, Jr. Is the father of Mr. Arnold Glass in the audience? Richard Arnold Glass, graduating in absentia. We had planned to give the award to his father, and apparently he did not make it. John H. Graves. Robert Randy Hall. James E. Hanf, Jr. Edgar Arnett Harris, graduating in absentia. Morris Lee Haywood. Robert Jan Hedgepath. Vincent Dwayne Hefner. James Neil Hollingsworth, Jr., graduating in absentia. Alan Brake Hopkins, Sr. Lee Edwin Horton. Terry Lynn Houston. John E. Hunt. Paul Davison Inman. Paul Andrew Lane. Edward Lewis Leopard. Anita Beth McCleese Marlin. John Lind Martin. Cynthia Lynn McCullough. Timothy Edward McQueen. Susan Rebecca Moore. David Michael Morris. Anna Marie Nobeck. James Earl Pennell. David Burnett Poole. Barbara Catherine Hollis Price. Donald Glenn Proctor. Randy Edward Prunty. John Richard Rainey, graduating in absentia. John W. Sisson III. Kathy D. Thomas. Kathy Ritchie Toole. Angelo McKinley Troy. John Wade Vickrey. Robert Holden Williams. Robert Gary Bresch. Susan Dale Finley. L. Andrew Holland. Michael Keith McGee. Glenda Gail Bumgarner. Boyce Glenn Crumpton. Charles McLaurin Eaton. John R. Frederick Jr. Gary Stewart Helm. Robert Stacy Nix. James Patrick Pierce. James Carroll Pittman, Jr. Earl Don Rawlings. Mary Lynn Wiggs. Troy Kevin Wilson. Rick R. Wolf. The Master of Theology degree is a graduate research degree open to those who have completed the MDiv degree or its requirements. Admission to this program requires facility in two foreign languages, of which at least one must be a biblical language, Greek or Hebrew. Candidates must have achieved a minimum of a B average on all work at the MDiv level, must have established their ability in research and composition with satisfactory scores on certain tests. Master of Theology students major in one of four curriculum areas: biblical, historical, theological, or ministry. Will the candidates for the Master of Theology degree please rise? President Lawley, I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Theology, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty, by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees, I confer upon you the degree Master of Theology, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the Marshal, as your name is called, come forward, please, to be invested with the Master of Theology hood and to receive your diploma.
Judy Ann Stevens. Daryl Lee Wise, graduating in absentia. The purpose of the Doctor of Ministry program is to equip students for the practice of ministry at the highest level of professional competency. Candidates for this degree have completed a Master of Divinity degree or its equivalent with high academic achievement and have demonstrated competence and potential for ministry. As a general rule, they have had at least 2 years of professional experience prior to beginning the DMIN program, and they must be engaged in ministry throughout the time of enrollment for the program of Doctor of Ministry. The work is composed of classes and seminars, ministry under supervision, a specific project in ministry, a report on that project, which is submitted to the faculty committee for evaluation and examination. Will the candidates for the degree Doctor of Ministry please stand? President Lawley, I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Doctor of Ministry, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty, by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees, I confer upon each of you the degree Doctor of Ministry. with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the marshal, as your name is called, come forward, please, to be invested with the Doctor of Ministry hood and to receive your diploma.
Joseph Clay Austin. Paul Andrew Burkwall, graduating in absentia. Woodrow E. Bush, Jr. Richard Terrell Davis. Larry Lundy Eakes. Michael Albert Gay. Kevin Thomas Green. Ronald Howard Grizzle. John Hildebrand Merks, graduating in absentia. Davis LeGrand Smith, Jr. Ralph Wurtenbaker Turner, Jr. George Allen Willard.
They get higher every year. And that is what it's all about. These journeys, 2 years minimum, some of them having been in their journey 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years to reach these degree moments, and all of you to be commended with them. That is what it's all about. Let us stand and celebrate by singing the seminary hymn.
Will you pray with me? Gracious Lord and loving God, we thank you for this very special moment in our lives, and we thank you for both the joys and the tragedies that have brought us to this place and to this hour. You have gifted each person here, from the youngest baby to the oldest grandparent. We would humbly pray your continuing grace on all those who are called to serve you and to minister to your people. Fill us, Lord, with the truth of your doctrine, and clothe us with holiness of life, that we might be faithful servants before you to the glory of your name. And Lord, until we meet again, may you bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. Lord, lift up your countenance upon us and give us your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.